guys, and welcome to episode 267 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, as always, thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate it. And in this story-based episode, I chat with Lou about her story, which includes ruminating, reassurance seeking, not feeling good enough, self-medicating at a young age with alcohol and drugs, how the birth of her first child triggered an OCD episode, paedophile-themed OCD, worries of her and others harming her baby, feeling like a bad person, getting therapy, dealing with anger, discovering acceptance commitment therapy, which she described was very helpful for her personally, eventually deciding to take medication and her experiences, the various triggers around her children, telling her husband something wasn't feeling quite right, a fear of upsetting people, and much, much more. A really wide-reaching episode. I've known Lou for a while, so it was a real pleasure to get her on and share her story with you guys. And thanks to NoCD for sponsoring the show. I reached out to Stephen Smith, founder and CEO at NoCD. Stephen wants you to know that OCD doesn't have to bother you anymore and you can break free from its torturous grasp. So have hope. Effective help from specialist therapists is now available. Click the link in the episode description to find out more or head to go.treatmyocd.com/theOCDstories. And without further ado, here is Lou. On the podcast today, I have Lou, who has kindly agreed to share her story with us. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Hi, Stu.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. As you know, I'd like to hear your story, OCD or otherwise.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say thank you for all the help that you've done since I've discovered your podcast. I just wanted to put that in there.
Thank you.
At the start. As a kid, I was quite anxious. I was quite a highly anxious child. I suffered from low self-esteem, was quite paranoid. Lots of ruminating. And looking back on it, there's a lot of reassurance seeking as well. Obviously, I didn't know at the time, it was anxiety. This was quite a long time ago, actually. I'm 42 now. So this is in the days where, people didn't really talk about this sort of stuff. There were a couple of incidences where that do stick out in my mind. One was, I don't know if you remember, you're probably too young for this, but there was a more Saturday morning television called Going Live. Do you remember that? Schofield in it.
Well, I know Philip Schofield.
Yeah. And they had like this sort of agony uncle on there, and people would write in with their problems and he'd give advice. And there was someone wrote in saying that they would worry a lot and that they couldn't sleep. So his advice, I will remember this, is that you think of a two-syllable word and at bedtime you keep repeating it again and again and again. I think knowing what we know now is probably not the best advice, but I remember as a child sort of laying in bed just repeating a two-syllable word again and again and again.
Do you remember what it was?
I can't remember, actually. No, I can't remember. But I just remember, having not being able to go to sleep until I'd done it for a certain amount of time. That kind of sticks out in my mind. And I think looking back, that was probably the start of things. And then I guess as I got more older, into my teens, I still had all the worries and the anxieties and obviously all the hormones. That's when I sort of was introduced to alcohol, and I'd sort of take drugs and things like that just to sort of get rid of the anxiety, basically, and the feeling of not feeling good enough.
What age were you? If you don't mind me asking.
When I was
drinking and drugs.
Yeah, and... I'd say probably about 14.
Okay.
So it was also a lot of fun at the time as well, but that did actually backfire after a while. I guess, you know, you get paranoid and things like that. But I guess in general, it was just like this, it was sort of going on in the background. I didn't really think that anything was massively wrong. I think it's just how I live my life. And I was unhappy, very unhappy. So I'd had a lot of therapists throughout the years, and I tried all sorts of things like hypnotherapy and talking therapy, counselling, things like that. But while it's good to sort of talk about stuff, it didn't really help. I guess then if you sort of fast forward to about 13 years ago, the birth of my daughter, my beautiful daughter. That's when it all sort of really fell apart.
Okay.
Pregnancy was amazing. I was like, it was, you know, it was lovely. I loved being pregnant. When she came into the world, beautiful, obviously. Through a recommendation, I decided to sort of follow this parenting book called The Contented Baby. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's very old school. Getting the baby into a routine. It's quite rigid.
Okay.
And I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. So I just wanted, you know, for me, I thought getting the baby to sleep through the night was the goal.
You're not the only parent that thinks that.
Yeah, exactly. So I was so stuck on these routines that, you know, that was kind of how I functioned for the first 4 months until she slept through the night, and it was great. And then after that, that's when the problem started. Just the thoughts. So I got POCD, but I didn't know it at the time. Thoughts of harming her, thoughts of not just me harming her, thoughts of other people harming her as well. It was quite bad. I thought I was going mad, and I thought I was a bad person. And I was really concerned that my child was, you know, I wasn't fit to look after to look after her. So I think I remember one night, it was just so distressing, the thoughts and everything just running around in my mind. And I just thought, well, I need to go to the doctor. There's something in me made me think I need to go to the doctor. And if the doctor thinks that I'm a danger and that I need to be locked up, then that's the best thing for her, for my child. So that's how I looked at it. And thank God, really, that I did, because, I don't know. I don't know if I could have kept it quiet, to myself. I just don't know where I'd have been, actually. So I went to the doctor, you know, sobbing in front of the doctor. She was very concerned in a lovely way. Referred me to the hospital, the mental health hospital outpatient. And that's where I got diagnosed with OCD. But at the time, I didn't know I didn't know anything about OCD, so I was like, "Oh no, no, I'm a really messy person. I'm definitely not OCD." And he sort of smiled and didn't push it further. And then the next time, he mentioned it again. I decided to go home and sort of do a bit of research. And the more I researched, I realised that, yeah, maybe I do have OCD. But back then, Stu, because this is 13 years ago, there wasn't really anything like we have now.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't the OCD story, for one. Not that I could find anyway. There were a lot of forums.
Well, there wasn't really. Social media was just starting, right? Facebook was 2006. Yeah. You're referring to about 2007, if I'm getting my dates right.
2008.
Okay,
so 2008. It was. There are a lot of forums, but were not a good thing looking back, because there are a lot of people like me, desperate to find the answers.
Okay.
And to know that they're not bad people, and it was just like it was massively triggering. All misinformation going around. I managed to get some CBT, the wrong CBT. It was group CBT. He put me in a depression CBT group by accident.
Okay.
But I did that anyway, because I guess I was a little bit depressed as well. And then did the proper course of CBT for OCD. And it did get rid of it. It really did help me to see that this wasn't my fault. But again, because it was a long time ago, I don't think the treatments were as good as they are now.
Did it include ERP?
No. No, it didn't. It was mindfulness-based CBT. So it was helpful.
Yeah.
But in my head, I thought it was deep. I thought that it had dealt with the OCD, because that the POCD theme had kind of calmed down a bit.
Okay.
And I just kind of went on with my life. I was still under the outpatient. And I was getting better after about 3 years. And then I discovered I was pregnant again. And then I just kind of went downhill. They kept me on. They were going to let me go. And then I realised I can't, being pregnant again was I didn't know whether I could do it. I was really scared because of going through all of that again. So I had my second baby, my gorgeous boy. And all the while, I was just quite hard on myself. Very anxious all the time. Also trying to work like freelance as well at the time, working late night. My husband, he worked in London, so long days he was away for, so he wouldn't be back till sort of 7-8 o'clock at night. And it was just getting too much, and I think I burnt out. I think with anxiety and OCD in particular, it can make you quite angry sometimes. And when I wasn't perfectly parenting, I it would sort of build up, and I'd get angry and, you know, and then feel really bad because I'd shouted, and it was like a vicious circle. And I decided I needed anger management and self-esteem training.
Okay.
Again, they put me on some CBT, and the guy that was my therapist, even though he knew that I'd had a history of OCD, would say some really strange things like, oh, you know, I'd mentioned that I'd had the washing out on the line, and he would, you know, as part of, you know, like my son was pulling the washing off of the line, and he was like, oh, so you're, the washing line was out. Was that safe? And obviously, as yeah, I kind of went away thinking, oh my god, like this man's not good for me. This therapist is not good for me. So I've had some not all right therapists. They managed to swap my therapist, and then she decided that I still had OCD, because at this point I thought that OCD had sort of disappeared, and I just needed a little bit of extra help with something else. And she said, no, I think it's still OCD, the theme's just changed. I think you need to be treated a bit more for that. So and then that's when I thought, oh, I need to do a bit more research. And I came across your podcast. This therapist was through the NHS, by the way. Okay. It was amazing finding your podcast, actually, because a lot of time had passed since I'd first got diagnosed with OCD, and there are a lot more people talking about, you know, all the different themes, and it was amazing. It really, you know, I remember listening to a few of them and just like crying with just, you know, relief that, oh my god, this is, you know, there's a community out there. And so it was great. And then through your podcast, I decided, because the CBT was working to a certain extent, but I felt like there was something missing, that I needed something else. And then that's when I discovered ACT on your podcast. I can't remember who was talking about it now. So I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe that's something that I could do. So I went through Chrissy Hodges. I had a little meeting with Chrissy, and she put me in touch with my lovely therapist, Ashley, who's also been on your podcast. And ACT has been amazing. It's really got my self-esteem back. I just think it's the missing piece for me anyway. Might not be for everyone, but for me, it was just, it made sense. And that's kind of where we are. Another thing is that I decided I didn't want to take medication. Okay. Which was actually one of the worst things I should have done. I decided too late in the day to take medication, and when I took it was the most amazing thing ever. It was like, is this how normal people think?
So when did you start taking medication in your journey?
About 3 years ago now.
Oh wow.
Actually, it was just before we went on the camp. And it had just started to kick in, the medication, then. It was just,
that's why you were so chilled.
Yeah. Properly chill, wasn't I? It was brilliant. And that just kind of freed up my brain a bit to be able to use all the tools that I'd learned, basically.
It gave you some breathing room, thinking space.
It did, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, nice. Okay, so I got a few questions. Thank you for sharing your story though. I really appreciate it. So we'll come back to ACT. So I do want to ask you about that. But going back to when you had your daughter and you said it was about 4 months in. Actually, we rewind a bit further. So when you were real young, you mentioned anxiety a lot. Were there no thoughts? Was it mainly just sort of being anxious and worrying a lot versus any sort of OCD intrusions?
It was mainly thoughts. So I think I should have mentioned that I was diagnosed with pure O as well. Okay. So there wasn't really any obvious outside behaviours as such, apart from the reassurance seeking, you know, do you like me? Have I done anything to upset you? That sort of stuff. But yeah, it's mainly
rumination, thinking over and over again.
A lot of rumination. Okay. A lot of rumination.
Okay. And then, so about 4 months after your daughter was born, you said that's when it really kicked in, the kind of POCD and those types of worries. So you said, you said self-esteem was kind of an issue for you for many years. I have no doubt it probably got worse at that time. Just anything you can say about that, I guess, because I'm sure there's many people listening with that theme or other themes that are taboo or incongruent.
Are you talking about after the birth of my daughter?
Got hit by the POCD, and I'm sure because you did say you felt like a bad person and not fit to be a mother, I think.
No, definitely not. I think I remember the moment actually looking at her and just feeling that intense rush of love.
Okay.
And then also this sinking feeling following it. And it's just a responsibility. It's like, shit, am I allowed to swear? it's like, oh my God, I've got to look after this human. I'm barely an adult myself. It was just overwhelming. I think also after she was born, I was in a bit of a state of shock, if I'm honest, because you're tired as well. And I just think I kind of, for the first few months, I was just on like this autopilot thing. And then once I could relax, once she was sleeping through, that's when it kind of crept in and kind of attacked, basically. And you know, you've got all these hormones, and I was breastfeeding as well, so there was I guess all those hormones rushing around as well. But it's such a, I just don't think people talk enough about it, actually. But no one can, at the same time, no one can prepare you either. But I just think, had I have known back then that there was this thing called OCD, maternal OCD, and here, these are the things to look out for, I just think it would have just stopped a lot of stuff in its tracks.
It would have made it less painful. It's still, no doubt, still would have been extremely painful and troubling, but you would have lost some of that. What's going on?
You can swear.
Well, yeah, I allow my guests, I try not to. Not on air, anyway. Okay. And then you also said you thought that other people would harm your daughter.
Yeah.
Did you ever worry that your son was going to do anything bad to her or anything like that?
No.
Sorry, did I say your son or husband?
You said son.
I meant husband.
You meant husband. It did cross my mind. I wonder if he'll listen to this and think, well, I've never actually mentioned it. It was everyone and anything. It was, even... I'd be walking down the street and looking at people thinking, are they a paedophile? You know, are they, you know, just everything was really dark.
Yeah. Sort of danger everywhere.
It kind of flipped everything. Like, yeah, it was horrible. But those thoughts did enter my mind, you know, family members that I love, and even the noises, you know, when a newborn makes those, or not a newborn, but babies make these sort of groaning noises in their cots, even those noises, which are meant to be lovely, I managed to turn it around into something, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. And I just, yeah. Yeah, it was horrible, but.
Yeah.
At the same time, it being diagnosed with OCD has made everything else in my past growing up, everything sort of, I understood everything.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, made a bit more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, when you went to see the GP, it was the GP, right? And you shared what was going on. Actually, kind of, yeah, I guess two-part question. One is, what was that like? Because I'm sure it was terrifying. And two, at what point did you sort of tell your husband that something wasn't right for you?
I told him before I went to the GP, actually.
Okay.
He got home from work. And I just had to say, you know, that it was nerve-wracking, obviously. You know, what's he going to think? But it was just too much for me to carry. And I just sort of broke down and sort of told him. I didn't give him all the details, but
yeah.
I'm getting enough. And he was great. He was absolutely brilliant. And then... when I think I booked the appointment with the doctor, and I don't know, it's funny because it's something so scary. You feel like they're going to take you away, knock you up, but yet I managed to go to the doctor, and it was scary, but there must have been part of me that knew. That I wasn't a bad person as well, if you know what I mean, to be able to.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, isn't it?
I agree. Insight is often the term. It's the part of you knew that it was bollocks. You know? There you go, I did it. but obviously there was a large part of you that was like worrying and doubting. Yeah.
But no, it was scary, but. But the GP didn't know what it was. But
it sounds like they were kind of, compassionate.
Yeah, compassionate. So,
okay, I'm glad. And then, so you found Ashley, you did some ACT. Was that alongside some ERP or just ACT?
Some ERP.
Okay.
Because, you know, there are also other themes that go on with me as well. Fear of upsetting people and things like that.
Okay.
So I was able to do a lot of ERP based on smaller things. I know all OCD is difficult, but for me the POCD was, and you know, the fear that I'm going to harm my kids mentally as well, that was where I was when I met Ashley, that I was going to mentally mess them up. Anything that I did wrong, and you know, I'd go over things. Did I say that right? You know, why are they behaving like that? Is that because I did this like last week? Or, you know, check in the kids' behavior, check in other people's reaction to my kids' behavior. yeah, so that was what was going on there. I think we found a term for it, parenting perfectionism. I think Ashley would be able to say what that is, but I've lost my train of thought.
No, it makes sense. And with ACT, you kind of said it was like, I can't remember the words you used, but basically summarize, very good for you, very effective. What was it about ACT that really helped?
Well, it was just recognize, you know, I just wanted something a bit deeper than just going through the motions of ERP, even though it's really helpful. I just needed something to link it together. And with that, it's focusing on your values. And then I'm just trying to think of an example. So I would get very, very upset if I shouted, got cross. It would send me into a spiral, and I would, it would take me out for a couple of days, crying, you know, sort of laying in bed. The kids would be quite concerned because I would beat myself up. So with ACT, it helped me to see what my values were. And so for that example, do I want to beat myself up? Let my kids see that making a mistake is a bad, bad thing. Or do I want to show myself a little bit more kindness, showing them that it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to move on from them. And that's how I managed to get my, I don't know, it was just those,
get it, yeah.
It was just that shift mindset.
Yeah, kind of, it's a value-led life, right?
Yeah, which has been great, really. It's not just for people with OCD, I don't think.
No. It's for everyone.
I think everyone could benefit from it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I'm trying to see if I have any more questions around your story. I'm sure I have a million after this, but no. I guess actually one question is, where are you at now in terms of like around POCD specifically and just anything else to do with OCD? How is it in your life in terms of like, is it still big? Is it small? Is it manageable? Is it still shame? Is there no shame?
There's a little bit of shame, if I'm honest. There is a little bit of shame. But I just have to, you know, it's just something that I'm dealing with. I mean, just doing this podcast is a good thing for me to do. But it's no way. Yeah, I don't really get the thoughts, or if I do, they're gone, and I don't. I tend not to dwell on them.
Okay.
I mean, I still get other themes as well, but they pop up every now and again. But it's definitely fleeting now, rather than
not sticking around.
It's not sticking around, no.
Okay. Less like honey, more like water.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice. Okay, and yeah, I'm going to ask you about the camp because you mentioned it. I'm just genuinely curious about your experience. Like, I'm not looking for any, you know.
It was shit. I hated it.
That's the general feedback, yeah.
No, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was just what I needed. I loved everyone there. It was, made some friends for life. We're still in touch now. It was, and of course Ashley was there which made it even more special. It's just so nice to come together with people. And you know, that night where we sat round and we sort of spoke about our lives, and it was a massive bonding experience. It feels like I've known everyone, you know, for years and years. But really, it's only been a couple of years, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 years this May.
Yeah. But no, it was brilliant. Thanks, Stu.
You don't need to thank me.
No, I know.
You paid to be there, so. I was going to say, yeah, no, I agree. I think there's something about, like, whether it's, like, what we do in the camp or just someone meets for a support group and has a long conversation, like that hour-long conversation, you can get to know someone better, at least in like a feeling sense, than you can some people you've known for 20 years.
Oh, definitely.
Because you've never gone deep with them or whatever it is.
It was, it's definitely, you know, and everyone knows, you just know that you can say anything and no one's going to be like, oh, because they just get it. And no, it's amazing.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, so obviously you've mentioned medication, you mentioned CBT Act, ERP. Is there anything else day to day, like in the past or even now, that just helps you with your sort of well-being?
Just generally looking after myself, I think. You know, getting as much sleep as I can, not drinking so much, which is hard in a lockdown, but not that I drink every night and get plastered, just saying that. I think especially in this lockdown, I made a pact with myself right at the beginning that I was not going to push things like the homeschooling and things like that. But I knew that it was going to be difficult, so I kind of prepared myself for it. But I was just gonna, what's the word? I wasn't going to butt heads with anyone.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I was going to try and
keep the peace.
Keep the peace, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Because, yeah, if you're constantly locked down, it's, you kind of need some semblance of order. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. And that's been
trying
working
to make
out.
It as fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been in general. It's helped.
Yeah, I think all these restrictions have had to, well, parents, I think, have had to get creative in entertaining and educating and everything else, which I'm sure has been a huge challenge, but maybe a learning.
You have good days and bad days, obviously, but.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. So was there, like, there may be many, but was there one that really sticks out for you, like a key moment of, like, something just clicked on how you looked at OCD or how you looked at getting over or getting better from OCD or anything like that?
I honestly, I don't know. I think it just took, it was a gradual, I'd say the second time I was told, I think this is still OCD. And then I found your podcast. I'm not kissing your ass a bit. Sorry.
That's all right.
But it was, you know, listening through the podcasts, and then, you know, with social media, you've got some great people on Instagram as well. And I think it's just every time you hear someone talk about their experience, and it really does people with OCD good. It really makes them feel that they're not alone. And so I wouldn't say it was like a bam moment. It was more of a gradual thing.
Yeah, nice. No, good answer. And was there, were there any roadblocks into you getting better that you feel hindered your progress or delayed it anyway?
I think the not taking medication.
Okay.
Because I'm really not one for taking medication.
Oh, is that the reason?
That might have been probably a bit of an OCD thing. you know, chemicals, okay, and, yeah, you know, I want everything natural, and I should be able to do this on my own. I don't need medication. But yeah, had I taken it sooner, probably done myself a massive favour.
Okay.
But so that was probably a bit of a hindrance.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, so words of hope for anyone listening with OCD.
This is I wasn't prepared for this question. Got the old questions in my head. Words of hope. There's so much. There's so much out there that can help you. There are so many people out there that understand you. You know, you're not alone. You're going to have tough days, but once you realise that, God, I'm slowly getting better, it's just the best feeling.
Nice. Yeah, because you kind of go from that, will this ever get better, or this is never going to get better, to, oh, it is getting better. It's quite a big...
It's something you never imagine, really, is it?
Yeah.
It's a good feeling. But just try and find a community of people.
Yeah.
And even if it's online.
That's true. Yeah, it's very, very true. I guess a similar question, but like, what would you tell someone just starting their journey now, their kind of getting help journey?
The thing that springs to mind is just to be kind to yourself, but that's really hard when you're not, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a skill.
It's
you don't have
skill.
To be good at it, but you can try.
No. Yeah. Keep going.
I'll take that. Absolutely. Yeah. Simple, important words. So probably the biggest question I'm going to ask you, which is, pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self. What do you tell her?
I've got this one written down.
Okay, good.
It's that it's not always about you, and I don't mean it in a negative way, because I think a lot of the time you are so concerned about how you are coming across and how others see you, and actually most people are more concerned about themselves than you.
True.
So that's probably the thing that I...
I think those are good words for anyone with social anxiety as well.
Yeah.
Is they're not thinking about you. They're preoccupied with themselves, their own worries and concerns and wishes.
But, you know, when you're younger, you just feel like...
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think, when you're really young, that is preoccupied, especially in teen years.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so billboard, what do you want written on it?
Okay, so you know Matt Haig?
Yeah.
I'm going to steal his words. Okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be a mess. The whole universe is a mess. Galaxies are drifting all over the place. To be tidy is to be out of tune with the cosmos.
Nice.
I like that one.
Where did he write that or say that?
That's on his Instagram account. I saw it and saved it.
Nice. Well, I'll put a link to his Instagram for anyone that's not familiar with his work. Awesome. So I guess lastly then, is there anything else that you wish you could have said today?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
No worries.
So thank you very much. Apart from thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I know it's tough sometimes to do it, so I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you enjoy the OCD Stories podcast and would like to support us with a one-time tip / donation, please go to theocdstories.com/support. All tips, no matter how large or small, are greatly appreciated. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to the podcast. Thanks also to NoCD for sponsoring the show. For more information, please click the link in the episode description. A quick disclaimer, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. And until we speak, take care.